Sunday worship at St. John the Evangelist Anglican Church in Ottawa for the first Sunday of Advent, December 3rd, 2023. My name is Gary Vandermeer and I'm the pastor and rector of St. John's. We normally upload the sermon to our website, and lately we've included excerpts from the worship service, including a reading and some music. And this Sunday we had a glitch, a technological glitch, and our recording device did not work. So here is a summary coming from the Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent. I'm going to read from the Gospel for Sunday. It comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. And I'm going to read it in the First Nations translation in keeping with the first anniversary of our appointment of Kimberly Johnson Breen as St. John's Indigenous Engagement Coordinator. Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 24, Jesus is speaking here. Then right after that time of trouble and sorrow, the sun will no longer shine, the moon will go dark, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the spirit world above will tremble. This is when they will see the true human being coming with power, riding the clouds and shining like the sun. He will then send out his messengers to gather his chosen ones from the winds of the four directions, from the spirit world above to the earth below. Listen to this wise story and learn the lesson of the fig tree. When its branches get soft and leaves appear, you know that summer will soon be here. In the same way, when you see all these things happening, you will know that the time is near, almost upon you. I speak from my heart. All of this will happen in this generation. You can be sure of what I am saying, for the earth and sky will fade away, but my words will not. But no one knows the day or hour when these things will take place, not the spirit messengers from the spirit world above, not even the Creator's own Son. Only the Father knows. So keep both eyes open and be ready at all times, for no one knows when this time will come. Be ready, like a chief who goes away on a long journey. He appoints the young men to watch over the village while he is gone, giving each of them responsibilities. Then he sets his warriors to guard the village gate. They must stay awake and be ready, doing what he says, for they do not know when the chief will return. It may be when the sun is setting, or late in the night, or when the rooster crows early in the morning. When the chief comes, he better not find them sleeping. I am telling all of you the same thing. Be ready and stay alert. This is the gospel of Christ. On the first Sunday in Advent, we begin lighting the candles on the Advent wreath. And the first candle has as its theme hope. And as I read this reading, I'm really thinking of what is the darkness we are countering by lighting a candle to focus on hope? And I want to suggest that that darkness is despair, and that that is a feeling that we can have as we read of the effects of the coming of the Lord, not just in this Mark Gospel passage, but also from the first reading from the prophet Isaiah. It's from Isaiah chapter 64, which begins like this. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. And following this appeal for God to come down in a dramatic way, we come to the end of that chapter, and it is in despair, it would seem. Your holy cities have become a wilderness, Zion has become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, where our ancestors praised you, has been burned by fire, and all our pleasant places have become ruins. After all this, will you restrain yourself, O Lord? Will you keep silent and punish us so severely? To counter this despair, I was looking for some kind of a phrase that would put it in a more hopeful light. And I did find a quote from popular culture. It goes like this: "Everything will be all right in the end, so if it is not all right, it is not the end." Now, this quote may come from various places, but I got it from the movie The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. The setup of this movie is a young man who owns a hotel in India. He lives under great pressure from his domineering mother to be a successful businessman, but his hotel is going under. He comes up with a great plan that we might call a Hail Mary pass. Now, a Hail Mary pass, that's a phrase, a cliche phrase that means all or nothing, or make it or break it, or a last ditch effort to save the day. And I'm using these cliches deliberately because the movie is full of them. The young man speaks them as sayings, but this one is his most memorable. Everything will be all right in the end, so if it is not all right, it is not the end. His grand idea for turning his hotel around is to market it to people in England as a cheap but glamorous alternative to expensive seniors' care. And as the movie shows, it almost doesn't work, but it does work, and many seniors come, and the movie is their story. The movie was so popular that they made a sequel, and it's no wonder they did. The actors are a joy to watch. Maggie Smith, Judy Dench, Bill Nighy, and many more. And the visuals of India are beautiful too. But also, I think maybe people imagine themselves in the shoes of these seniors, deciding whether they would move to another country for cheaper seniors' care. I know my mother would never do it, and so my sisters and I are applying for long-term care for her to be close enough for us to visit. But would I do something like that? It has the sparkle of adventure, and it seems to have that for all of the seniors who move to this place. The movie is full of cliches, but also of stereotypes, including the domineering Indian mother, a visit to a call center, and a young man not cut out for business. Maybe he's dreamy, maybe he has ADD or ADHD, and he's full of these cliché sayings. But what is not cliché is the seniors themselves. Their lives have all the challenges of people of any age. Sexuality, conflict, regret, playfulness, laughter, and just getting through each day. The other reason I think this story is appropriate for us on the first Sunday of Advent is that the most significant apocalypse most people will face will be their own death. Lots of things have felt like apocalypses to people. In Isaiah's time, the exile to Babylon, Jesus' crucifixion, the destruction of the temple by the Romans, and we could carry on through history to our day as well. People have looked to these kinds of Bible stories and wondered if we are in the apocalypse now. And yet, the world keeps chugging along. It's worse for some. Consider the people in Palestine and Israel and Gaza. Consider the people in Ukraine and many, many other places where there is great conflict. How it must feel like an apocalypse. But for us in Ottawa, the canal didn't freeze last winter. It may not freeze this winter. And if that's an apocalypse, it's unfolding very slowly. What is an apocalypse, anyway? If we read the stories of the New Testament, let's say we decide to read all of Mark's Gospel in one sitting, and that would be a worthwhile plan. We're in the year of the 3 years of our reading cycle where we mostly read Mark's Gospel. And so it would be a worthwhile plan to sit down and read the whole thing in a couple hours' time. And if you did that, you would notice how thoroughly this book is an apocalyptic writing. Jesus lived in an era permeated with images of the end times, of God breaking in and everything changing, everything falling apart, everything being transformed. It was actually the thinking of a long period of time, perhaps a 500-year span from late Isaiah and Daniel all the way through to the destruction of the temple in the year 70 by the Romans. In the New Testament, we can even detect the change. The early writings of Paul the Apostle, for example, have him saying, "Don't bother getting married, there's not that much time left." But by the end of his later writings, or at least the ones that were written in Paul's name, there is a realization that we actually need plans for an ongoing life. So what of apocalypse? Are we waiting for it still? Or was Jesus' death the apocalypse? Will our death be the closest we get to apocalypse? I like this answer better than the alternative we often hear, which is that people are God's instruments in bringing about the end of days. Although that does have a certain logic to it if you also think people are God's vehicle in bringing about the kingdom of God. Why would it not be about bringing the end if it were not about bringing in the kingdom? But I think both of these overstate our significance, our role in bringing about the kingdom of God, which is the good and ideal way God wants the world to be, is not entirely in our hands. God is God, and we are not. The Advent readings call us to keep awake and to be ready and to wait. And then over these 4 weeks, the focus moves from end times to waiting for God to break into human existence in the birth of the baby Jesus. Keep awake to notice the ways God is already in the world. Jesus' life is the journey and the destination for how God is here. And the word gospel, keep in mind that it does mean good news. How could it be good news that God wants our assistance in destroying God's incredible, glorious creation and the wonder of God's people in all our diversity? I think it's better instead to go with the movie quote, even if it is cliche. Everything will be all right in the end, and so if it's not all right, it's not the end. It means don't give up. Waiting for God to break in through the birth of Jesus means waiting for God to show us how to be God's co-creators and partners in the way the world could be, in the way the world should be, which is what we call the kingdom of God. And rededicating ourselves to that role. And so, in the grand scheme of things, our deaths do feel like the most apocalyptic thing we will face. For that, maybe we should be grateful as we look around the world in our prayers, and we pray for so many people for whom death is actually very frightening in all the other aspects of conflict that go with it and lead people to despair. And so we pray for Palestinians, for Israelis, for Indigenous Canadians, for the people of Afghanistan and Yemen and Iran, for the people of Guatemala and Honduras, for the people of Africa, for the many newcomers arriving in Canada and coming to Ottawa and trying to figure out where to be and how to live here, for the people served by The Well and Belong Ottawa, our partners in ministry, and for the people who ask to be smudged as they come to the door of our church, whether for worship or simply just for the smudging and that moment of purification. And let's not forget also to pray for each of us in the worries we carry and hardly feel safe talking about. Life can be really hard. No wonder people find themselves calling out to God in a kind of despair. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens. In other words, for God's sake, God, do something. But Jesus' life was not about getting ready to face the apocalypse of his own death. It was about also the specific lessons he gave on living good news. How to be hopeful, how to include, how to love, how to heal. Let's keep on doing these things as our mandate. The season of Advent is a good time to say, don't give up. Everything will be all right in the end, so if it's not all right, it is not the end. It is not the end, and so we are not done with loving. Amen. I invite you now to pray with me the collect for the first Sunday in Advent. That's the prayer that begins our celebration of the Eucharist and collects or gathers us all into the focus of God's presence and love. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.